Hello and welcome to episode 12 of our Trading Times podcast series. As usual, I'm David Pritchard, Head of Marketing at Sintons, and as usual, this is Leah Greenwell, 5th year solicitor apprentice, also here at Sintons. Good afternoon, co-host.
Hello. It's very exciting because we are also joined by Ellie.
Yes.
So Ellie is the first in our Trading Times podcast who isn't actually a trainee.
Correct.
Ellie was a trainee with us, but she's since qualified into our neuro team, so we're very, very excited to have you, Ellie, because you're going to give our podcast episode today a bit of a different spin.
You are.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be joining you.
Good. Well, because we haven't done these in necessarily all of them in order, the last few just with actually both you ladies had sort of tonsillitis last week, didn't you? So we are a little bit late recording. Leah seems to have had recurring tonsillitis,
just,
I think, across...
Just to disclose my across
14 episodes. But
and so all episodes, yeah.
A little bit late recording this one, aren't we? So we've just done episode 14 just before this, where we had all of the trainee solicitors and solicitor apprentices in the room and we put your questions to them. So that was a good episode. Enjoyed recording that. But Ellie, we're here to talk about you. So I know you've been listening to them because you've told us you have been. So we'll actually put some of that knowledge to the test, won't we, when we start quizzing you.
I'm ready. I'm good at tests.
But general format today, what we intend to do is we're going to shamelessly pry into your life. So we want to hear about your route into law, I guess, starting with school. We want to hear a little bit about you outside of work. I will talk about recruitment into Sintons at the moment, and then you and I are going to concentrate on the end. We are looking at, he says, as he looks at his notes.
I think it's Ellie's experiences as a trainee.
Ellie's experiences of being a trainee and moving into a newly qualified solicitor. So we are going to focus on that. And obviously what we've tried to do through all these podcast episodes is to assist you as you're going through your decision-making process of, is law for me? Is Sintons for me? Is this a career I can see myself doing for the rest of my working life? Which obviously is a big commitment, isn't it? And a big decision to make. So really we're trying to give you a lot of top tips and really just explain to you what life is like in Sintons. So on that basis, and I can't believe this, we've actually done this whole introduction without stopping and having to re-record anything. I don't know what's the matter with us. Maybe that we've absolutely just nailed this now, and this is our level of podcast professionalism moving forward.
We've made it last few episodes,
just as we're at the penultimate episode. So Ellie, tell us about you. How did it all start?
So myself, I grew up down in Nottingham, just standard, went to school, and then at college I just happened to go to a law taster session for the subject and just found it really interesting.
So was this at senior school?
It's at college.
At college, sixth form.
Yeah, right, sixth form, okay. Sorry, yeah. Sixth form. So yeah, I just went to the taster session and thought, yeah, this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll pick it as one of my four subjects. And then pretty much from the first month or two, I sort of thought law is the career for me.
So you do law as an A-level?
Yeah, did it as an A-level.
Okay. That's brilliant because we've not had many in the trainee group have the option to study law at that level.
I think it does depend. Like, it's not offered in a broad sort of scope across the country, especially if you stay on at your own school to do sixth form.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because my sixth form didn't, but I know that the colleges that we have around Newcastle, I think they do offer it as a subject.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if you're listening, if you're kind of maybe doing your GCSEs, thinking about sixth form and further studies, if you're really kind of keen and set on studying law, then maybe looking at local colleges might be an option.
Yeah, it does give you a really good taster into what to expect at university. There are a few sort of areas of law we looked at, which we then went on to consider in a few cases. But you don't need to do it at all. It's, like I say, not many other trainees here have done it. It's just, I found it interesting. I thought I'd go for it, and it actually helped me make the decision.
I think it's a great opportunity, and it really must go in your favour. And certainly when I was at school, what year, Leah?
Oh, that 1992.
When I was, when I left senior school in 1992, do A-levels, from 1992 to 1994, Leah, there wasn't as many options as there is now, but law certainly wasn't an option as an A-level then. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you completed your A-levels.
Yes.
Still in Nottingham.
Yes, this is still in Nottingham.
Okay, what happened then?
So in second year of A-levels, when I started to look at universities, one of the ones I was thinking of was Durham. My dad is actually from the area, so he sort of was pushing me towards that, even though we've got no family in the North East anymore, but he thought, yeah, it's a really really nice place. So I came to visit, just fell in love with the city, absolutely loved it. The course was really interesting. There were no sort of prerequisites. So I know some universities you have to study specific subjects to get certain experiences while you're on a law degree. So another university I went to look at said you had to do sort of English and history and law, a few of those like traditional subjects, to be on the law experience, so to actually do the pro bono service.
All right.
Whereas Durham had absolutely no restrictions, so I was able to do it having done PE as one of my other options, as sort of random as that sounds. So yeah, I chose Durham, did the law degree, and yeah, it was really, really interesting. It was plenty of options available at Durham, course-wise.
Okay, so when did you start applying for, I guess, law firms and training contracts?
I started in my second year, which is quite early, but the way that training contracts work, they tend to hire 2 years in advance. Mm-hmm. So by the time I would have done the graduate assessment in the summer, 2 years on would be finishing the degree and completing the LPC. So the timing's about right to start then, but only if you feel comfortable and ready to do that. I know a lot of people that prefer to wait and go a bit later.
And did you apply to just Northeast firms? Had you had it in your mind to stay in the Northeast?
Yeah, I fell in love with the Northeast when I went to Durham, and I thought, yeah, this is the place for me. The people are friendly. It's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was very content to stay up here.
You didn't feel a yearning to return to Nottingham?
No, not particularly.
So applied for a few firms up here. How many would you say you applied to? We've not actually asked that before, have we? What is the average number of firms people actually apply for? Mm-hmm. So quite interested with you having gone through the processes. How many did you put applications into?
The first year when I first started applying in my second year of uni, I actually applied for quite a few because I wasn't quite certain of what exactly was for me, what type of law. So it was quite broad. I did get a few graduate recruitment weeks, Inters being one of them. And even though I got down to the last 10 here, I didn't get it.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the first year I applied, I got down to the interview after the graduate week, which was 10 people left.
So you had two grad recruitments here?
Yes, I did. The first time I was actually the only second year on the graduate recruitment week. Mm-hmm. So I was the youngest, and I thought that was a bit of the feedback. Like, we really liked you, you've great personality, you're just slightly inexperienced. So
we've had a couple of trainees. I know that Charlotte Johnston, who's going to be qualifying this week into commercial property, she had two graduate recruitment weeks with us.
And Sophie, qualified
Sophie Towns,
a year before me.
Who's a solicitor in corporate now. And like Eddie says, you know, you go through those experiences in different firms, and it's not the case that they don't like you, or you know, you've done anything particularly wrong. They just maybe feel as though you need a little bit more confidence, a little bit more experience, and then to come back again the next year.
Yeah, it really helped me as well, because I was able to experience the graduate week and thought, you know what, actually this firm is for me.
Yeah,
I feel I fit in here. The type of law we do is what I want to be doing on my training contract. So then the following year, when I started to apply again for graduate recruitment weeks, I was really narrowed it down to specific places, so there are a lot fewer in the second time that I applied for.
I think that's really good advice to give to university students.
And I think there's a life lesson in there, you know, and I'm gonna preach this one at you. Things don't always necessarily go your way the first time. And even when you are in work, in your dream career, you're gonna have good days, you're gonna have great days, and you are gonna have some bad days, because that is just the nature of life, isn't it? And really, I think how you measure a person is not that you get down by something, it's how you literally bounce back from it. And I've always said, you know, with teams that I've managed, I don't mind at all someone having a bad day. We all have a bad day, but what's important for me is how you go away, you collect yourself, and you come back, refocus and re-energize the next day, because that for me is how I would judge someone in my team, if judge is the right way of putting it. But I think it's that kind of resilience, isn't it? And you know, you don't just give up at your first knock, because you are going to get knockbacks. We don't all get our dream jobs straight away. Leah's laughing because I am sort of preaching.
I'm like, I'm laughing because I watched Rocky VI not that long ago.
Right, okay.
And I definitely think that was a quote.
Quoting.
Does he not say something like, it's not about how hard you get hit, it's about
how many times you get back up?
Yeah, something like, I feel like you've just channeled your inner Sylvester Stallone.
Or Sylvester Stallone could have got it from me,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe he channeled his inner David.
I think so.
That's what happened.
I think that's quite likely. So you were obviously your second time you were accepted into Sintons, and you started with us. Talk us about your seats. I mean, we've talked a lot about the graduate recruitment kind of week and process, and I don't really want to kind of focus on that too much. I think our listeners can listen to previous podcasts with the guys that are going kind of through that now, but just talk to us about your seats. So your first seat was...
It was commercial healthcare.
Yes.
Which isn't what most people expect. When you hear healthcare, you kind of think... clinical negligence sort of claims, but it was actually the commercial side. So it was the buying and selling of dental practices and GP practices, and some work for hospital trusts themselves.
You've summed up healthcare quite well there. Healthcare as a sector within Sintons is the coming together of various other departments, specialist departments under healthcare umbrella. So as you quite rightly said, we could be doing commercial, corporate, employment, dispute resolution, construction, real estate work for NHS trusts, GPs, dentists. That's how healthcare fits under the Sintons umbrella. So it's a good seat to get. You're working with some really talented people for you for your first seat. It's quite a full-on seat, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There are a lot of big sort of deals. You're working with a lot of valuable assets that you're selling and purchasing for the main part. So yeah, it was an interesting one, but yeah, sometimes could be quite complex.
And obviously because they are so BD aware, and marketing and business development is key to what they do, you got to work with us quite quickly, didn't you? So kind of on events and and content and all the things that we, I'm going to say, have talked about with Sam in episode 14, but that's only because we have actually recorded that. But you won't have listened to this until you've heard this episode with Ellie. But coming up is Sam's episode, where we do focus on marketing and the importance of marketing and business development. But I think you were kind of thrust straight into that, weren't you?
Yes, I was. There were quite a few events in the first few months that I was able to attend, and the corporate commercial team as a whole did this thing called Founders Friday.
Yes.
Which is sort of a local business meetup in Newcastle, and we would attend and meet sort of entrepreneurs and lots of business people in the northeast and just sort of network with them. And we also did a legal clinic with them as well, so it's really good relationship
building.
They focus
on tech-based startup.
Yes, tech-based startup.
Yeah. So from healthcare, you went for your second seat to...
I went to neurotrauma.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually ended up doing a double seat there, so I stayed there for a year, which was partially due to the pandemic. I did start my second seat 1 or 2 weeks before the national lockdown, so it was quite a different seat, and just given where the work was at the time and that I'd been getting on quite well with Neuro and with the team, I was able to stay for a full year overall.
And obviously you've really excelled in that seat, so much so they were very, very keen to retain you, weren't you? And you qualified into Neuro last September.
Yes, I did.
And then final seat?
I did dispute resolution.
Dispute resolution, I remember, yeah.
So another litigation, I clearly have a flair for the arguing and debating.
That's not
like
you, Ellie.
No, we couldn't possibly comment, Ellie.
I'm going to go with debating rather than arguing, but yeah, it was...
I think we're going to go with arguing.
It was good to sort of really drive home the litigation experience. And the neurotrauma cases tend to last a lot longer, so it could be 5 or 6 years from start to finish of the claims, because it's very complex and there's a lot of needs for the client. But dispute resolution worked a lot quicker, so I was able to pick up a lot of skills that I hadn't had the opportunity to do yet in my year in neurotrauma.
So looking back on your 2-year training contract, how would you sum it up? I know you were asked a question for the episode, the next episode, sort of about what you took away from it, but how would you sum it up? Try not to make it too similar to the question that you have in the Q&A, but...
I would just say very unexpected, just given all the challenges. It's not how I pictured my training contract to be at all.
Global pandemic-wise, do you mean?
Yeah, global pandemic-wise.
Working from home and...
Yes,
everyone else working remotely. And,
and even just sort of the opportunities to business develop and meet new people. It was very different from how my first 6 months were when we had the events and the networking opportunities. So yeah, I really had to try and learn a different way of going about that.
Sure.
Even just the trainee group itself was completely different as well, because we had new trainees start round about the March time, didn't we?
That's right.
Which was...
So it was 6 months later than originally planned.
Yeah, so, you know, just those, you know, I'm sure if you've listened to the podcast series, you'll know that we're quite a sociable bunch anyway, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we're always really keen to to do kind of team building events, mm-hmm. organise just, you know, little socials here and there, yeah. and we couldn't even do that. So yeah, it was really hard having people in the training group, yeah. because we're quite a tight-knit group,
yeah,
anyway.
Absolutely.
Not having met people, yeah, yet, or, yeah. and seeing them in the office and just having like a cup of tea or mm-hmm. a cup of coffee with them.
It does make a huge difference. I mean, you know, working remotely has mm-hmm. its place. I think the flexibility is brilliant for people.
Yeah,
I think it's opened up the country geographically mm-hmm. in a way that perhaps somebody who, and I'm not just talking law here, somebody mm-hmm. who doesn't want to leave the northeast mm-hmm. can,
I think,
occupy a role in mm-hmm. Manchester,
yeah.
And it have, you know, very little effect kind of on their home mm-hmm. life and their circumstances.
Definitely, yeah. I think maybe the challenge is where you're brand new, and
we're
in a position of training as well, where, you know, yeah. we're really relying on having quite close contact with mm-hmm. others that we can learn from.
Yes,
I think it's quite hard,
especially other trainees. So it tends to be when you move seat, you do talk quite a lot to the mm-hmm. person that was there before you, and it was difficult to do that with various people being off, or the trainees having qualified beforehand and then the 6 month gap before we got to the mm-hmm. new one. So it was challenging, but
nothing beats just being able to lean over and say, what do you think of this?
I know I missed
that in my team, and it's fine, you can pull them on teams, but sometimes mm-hmm. you don't want a full 5 minute chat, do you? You just want what do you think of this, and then just sort of crack on. It's quite interesting, Ellie, isn't it, because we were, you still are, on the corporate social responsibility committee with
yep.
me, and we had a great trainee challenge booked for 2000 in mm-hmm. Ireland, which we're now doing 2022, which unfortunately you're not going to be
yes.
part of, which is
and
a real shame.
I'm still part.
Well, I was the person that found that challenge.
You
I
were.
Sort of said, oh, this looks quite interesting. But yeah, unfortunately.
Well, I think the point is we rearranged that mm-hmm. about 17 times, didn't
yeah.
we? Not knowing
we
obviously
did.
What was going on in the country. And then even 2021, we couldn't commit to that because we still
yeah.
knew what was going on. And we did a different challenge up in Northumberland, but again with that we were just umming and ahhing, weren't we, as
yeah,
to whether it was actually going to happen or not.
It was really sad because, again, I'd been being part of the CSR committee, I was heavily involved in organising that, and then I got pinged a few days before.
Oh, remember, yes.
Yeah.
I got pinged just before and
like
wasn't able to go.
And,
yeah, so you couldn't
yeah.
actually come on the challenge that
yeah.
you'd worked with us to organise, but you actually stayed at home and cycled the equivalent of what the guys were
yes.
walking. I think you did over 100 miles.
I did 100 miles on my little exercise bike in my room.
That didn't, when you showed us that exercise bike, we were, you're going to do 100 miles on that?
Yeah.
yeah.
I watched a few good films and TV shows.
It was a brilliant effort.
It was,
yeah.
it was excellent. Okay, so I think we've pried enough into your upbringing and your formative years and your thought process and applying here in the last couple of years.
So we're just going to pry some
So
more.
Now we're yeah, going to pry
my
into,
home life.
Into your personal life. So yeah. tell us about Ellie outside of work.
The main, most important thing is that I am a very big Newcastle fan, which is very handy since the St James Park is just across the
road. Looking at it, aren't we?
We're
just,
are.
Yeah, literally looking
you
at it.
See it from the window. So yeah, if any future trainees try to tell me any team is better, there'll be a heavy debate there. But I am also a cheerleader, so it's not sort of the pom-poms and the dancing that a lot of people think. It's more the cheer show on Netflix, if people have watched that. But yeah, it's very interesting. It's very hard work.
Did you get into that at university, or was that something you've always done?
I started it in sort of my last year at university, mm-hmm. just out of the blue. A few friends had done it, and I just absolutely fell in love with it.
So where would you do that now? Because you've mentioned it a few times, and I've never wanted to come across as ignorant as I obviously am coming across now on a recording.
Save it for the podcast.
Save it where it's going to be, you know, there forever. So where would you actually do that?
I've joined a team, and it's Northern Vipers in Sunderland.
Okay.
It did take a bit of research to try and find teams for adults, because you do tend to get a lot that it is... mainly teenagers you tend to find, and you do get some that are quite gymnastics-y based. But yeah, I found a team and we've got such a broad range of ages. I'm not even the oldest one there, which is really nice.
So obviously you practice, and then mm-hmm. Is it competition-based thing?
Yes.
Do you go to events?
It's competition, so we don't sort of do the sports cheerleading that you might find at American football in the US. But yeah, there are events all around the country, and you go and do your, it's like a 2.5 minute routine.
Wow.
And it gets judged and marked, and you can actually get sort of entry into other competitions. So one of the ones we've been trying for is an entry to Worlds, which mm-hmm. is in Florida, so we could get entry to that competition.
Nice.
Oh my God.
If we win our the competition that we're doing here. So yeah, it's a, you wouldn't expect it to be so big, but it's actually quite big now in the UK.
But huge in the States. I mean, you've
massive
only, you've
in
only
the States,
got a,
yeah.
You've only got to watch a film, haven't you?
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah, it is. It's really big. And it's, I would say it's a lot more competitive over there. So the training's a bit more intense. Like, mm-hmm. ours is mainly for fun. And
yeah.
we have such a good time at training. And then we enter the competition to sort of show off our
yeah.
hard work learning
yeah,
all the
sure.
new stunts.
Very good. Exciting. And obviously you're settled in the Northeast. You've got no desire to live anywhere else.
No. Not at all. I just really like it up here. It's for me. So yeah, I can't see myself moving anywhere.
Very good. Okay, so at this point, just take a couple of minutes just to talk to you about recruitment into Sintons. Now, the date has passed for recruitment for our September 2022 solicitor apprentice cohort. But obviously, from listening to the podcast, if there's something that does interest you, then please do keep checking out our website, particularly around early 2023. Seems about frightening, doesn't it, saying 2023 already, but actually can't believe we're in March and the clocks are about to change in a couple of weeks. So do check out. The solicitor apprentice route is really popular. It's gaining in popularity, and I can't for a second see why Sintons and more firms like Sintons will be getting involved in it, because it is just such a fantastic route into law. So if that's something you're thinking about, just keep checking out the website, check out our trainee Twitter. You'll know when the dates are going to open again in plenty of time. We are still recruiting for our September 2024 trainee solicitor cohort. So if that's something that does interest you, I know I have really gone on about this, but our website www.sintons.co.uk has an absolute plethora of content there, useful and relevant content that should help you with your decision making process with the application itself. And we're really just trying to steer you. And that's what this podcast series has been about, for people who are interested in pursuing careers in law. We're just trying to make the information accessible by people who are going through the process, who've gone through the process, and like Ellie and Sam, who have qualified and have elected to stay with Sintons. So if it does interest you, all the information's on there, and the very important link to the online application form. Okay, Ellie, so you and I have chatted about this and what we thought we would concentrate on in this part of the podcast, where we're trying to add a bit more value to our listeners. And we thought we'd talk about that transition from being a trainee solicitor to getting your practicing certificate. Your new business cards arrive with solicitor on rather than trainee. Your LinkedIn's updated, your email, your website profile shows solicitor. So all that hard work has paid off. You've stayed with a firm that fits. You fit for the firm. The firm fits for you. Fantastic. Hopefully you are 9/10 in an area that you want to be in, and you're fortunate enough to have qualified into an area that, you know, you're really passionate about. So talk to us about day one of being a lawyer. What's the mindset? How are you regarded? How do you regard yourself? Do you still get that level of support that you had as a trainee? What's it like? Talk us through it.
I think I was very fortunate in having done the double seat in neurotrauma.
Yeah.
Because I did that extra 6 months, I really got to work on a lot of different things and at a higher level than I had in my first 6 months as a trainee. So I did actually have a lot of experience of what I would be doing as a solicitor.
Uh-huh.
So fortunately for me, my day one, I just eased back into it. My supervisor was the same supervisor as my first seat, so we knew we worked sort well together, and it was a quite smooth transition, and I felt quite comfortable, which I think is very fortunate, because mm-hmm. it can be really nerve-wracking, even just the change of title and the extra responsibility.
And especially as you'd been out of that seat for 6 months, hadn't you?
Yes.
And I guess why you'd kept in touch with people, mm-hmm. and you saw what the department was doing, you looked at kind of things from a business development mm-hmm. point of view, things we're getting involved with, seminars and events that we were doing. You had actually worked in a completely mm-hmm. different area, hadn't you?
Yes, I had, and a completely different computer system.
Of course.
So I did have a little worry of like, what if I've forgotten everything? Mm-hmm. What if I don't know how the claims work anymore? But yeah, I just sort of, I think I enjoy the era so much. I was happy to get back and do what I enjoyed again.
Okay, so did you feel any different once you'd qualified? Did you feel kind of more assured, or gone obviously onto a permanent contract?
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel more secure and final?
Yes, definitely. I sort of, this is what my future I wanted to do, to be a lawyer, and it was a really good feeling to have got accomplished that and know that it's sort of up from here. I hopefully shouldn't have to worry because I am settled and this era of law is for me and I can see myself developing. So yeah, it was really nice to sort of have accomplished that and now be moving towards a new goal of progressing.
I guess if I was applying and I'd listened to this series, I'd want to know from you, I suppose, has it all been worth it?
Yes, definitely. I knew from an early age, like I said, at college, straight away, this is what I wanted to do. So to be here, I felt the last few years have definitely been worth it.
And you can see yourself doing this for the rest of your working career. You are a lawyer now and that's you.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, so as we start to wind down on episode 12 of our podcast series, Leah has got our left field question of the week. And it's a good one, this one.
It's my time to shine.
Yep.
So, Ellie, David, left field question of the week is, would you rather have the power of telekinesis?
Mm-hmm. Which is moving things with your mind.
Which is moving things with your mind. Mm-hmm. Or telepathy, which is the power to read minds.
Ellie, over to you with that one first.
So, well, would you rather be able to move things with your mind or read minds? Mm-hmm.
As handy as moving things with your mind would be, you know, when you're just feeling a bit lazy Sunday morning, just want a coffee, you don't want to get out of bed or leave the sofa. I do think it would be to read minds. I am quite a nosy person. And just think how helpful it would be if I'm in a claim in court and... Just be able to read the defendant's mind and see what's coming up.
Using your power for good. Career, yeah.
I'm not sure with telekinesis whether it extends itself to actually physically making coffee. I always worked on the assumption that you would move something with your mind, pick it up and put it down. I didn't know you'd be opening fridge doors. And,
oh, yeah.
Doors, and you could then get,
just
the milk
get the spoon out.
It's moving anything, isn't it?
Just think
you
of
can
Matilda.
Flick the kettle button from, Matilda.
It's made me potentially rethink it because I was all in for mind reading, but actually if I can do that level of things with telekinesis, I think I'm all in for that. So put me
down
for that.
I would just be playing pranks on everybody all day, just moving things.
You could have some fun, couldn't you?
You could, exactly.
Yeah. Excellent. What about you, Leah?
I'm telekinesis.
You're with me on that. Excellent.
I definitely want to move things.
Just me that's really nosy then.
Yeah.
I know, I'm still nosy. I just like the thought that if I didn't want to go over the road and get the car, I could just drive it over here.
With your mind.
Yeah.
I think you'd still have to see it, be able to see what you're doing,
we
surely.
Press ourselves up against the window.
Excellent. Okay, well, I think that concludes today. Just wanted to mention, as I always do, these podcasts are slightly lighter in nature than some of the other content that we put out, and that has been completely deliberate. Really what we're trying to do is to set you at ease at a very difficult time when you are planning your future, because, you know, planning your future is a difficult thing. It's a big undertaking. So really what we wanted you to see is the human face behind a law firm. Whilst we are here and we take it all incredibly seriously and we are a professional firm and professional people doing a professional job for the benefit of our clients, that is what we are here for. We are also people. We're also a team that get on very well and have friendships and relationships and we do have a laugh because it is fun. I know I have said that in every podcast, but it really is just to make that point again. Once again, we hope you have found all these useful. We are still generally staggered. Every time Leah and I speak, it's to just really lamenting how many people are still listening to this series, and we're just short of 150,000 listens now, which is just a staggering amount. So we generally are appreciative, so thank you from us for that. We've thoroughly enjoyed doing this. Thank you to Ellie for being so open and transparent and telling us everything and also instructing us where we could and couldn't sit in the room, so thank you very much for that. I think it has worked. Leah and I have got this little thing. I think it's a little bit like Ant and Dec. We can only record when she's on my right and I'm on her left, and Ellie wanted to completely move that around, which I think set us into a complete spin, didn't it?
So I like to put you out your comfort zone, try something new.
I think we're all good with this. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't even tell you what the right side of Leah's face looks like because I only look at the left and sort of vice versa. So thank you once again for listening to our podcast, to our general ramblings, and we will speak to you for next week for episode
13.
Well, it's 13, which we've already recorded with Sam, where Sam, who has also recently qualified into our real estate team, will tell us all about him and his route into law. Episode 14, which we've also just recorded earlier, has all your fantastic questions, so thank you once again for sending those in. And then episode 15, which we are to record a week today, is our last episode in this series, where you're going to be interviewing me. So stay safe, everyone. Thank you once again, and we will speak to you soon. Thank you.